First Timothy, if you will. And I'd like to read a paragraph from chapter number 4. First Timothy, chapter 4. We'll begin our reading, the Lord willing, at verse 1. And we'll read down through and including verse number 6. Just that opening portion of the fourth chapter of Paul's letter to this young preacher. And as others have done, and out of respect to the Word of God, would you stand with us, please, while we read His Word. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain from meats. Now, Paul's going to talk about those meats for a while. Meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature, still talking about food, those meats, every creature of God is good. Nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving, for it's sanctified by the word of God and prayer. Then watch what it says to young Timothy. Verse 6. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. May God bless the reading of His Word, and you may be seated there where you are. It has become in fashion in the days in which we live to deny that Paul wrote the pastoral epistles. We are told that 1st and 2nd Timothy and Titus were written far after Paul had died, and some even say that they're falsely ascribed to Paul. I hope I'll get an amen here. I believe Paul wrote them. Well, I say that, I believe the Holy Ghost wrote them. But I believe he used Paul in the process. And so we have read Paul's instructions to a young preacher. These are the criteria. This is the test by which he can determine if he's a good minister, a good preacher of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd like for us to look at these verses sort of one at a time. I'll just go ahead and tell you what got my mind and my heart on this paragraph of Scripture. There is a new book that has been published. Oh, there are hundreds of books every week published in our country, but this one was written by a preacher. This one was written by a Baptist preacher. He's eminently educated. I myself, I'll not speak for you. I couldn't hold a candle to him. And, has more degrees, has several doctorates, has taught at a number of well-known national seminaries. And here's the name of his book. I even brought a copy of it along so I'd have it if I needed to show it. Here's the name of his book. 10 Things I Learned Wrong at an Old-Fashioned Bible Believer. Ten things I learned wrong at an old-fashioned Bible-believing Baptist church. That stirred me up. So I've decided if God will give me the breath and the strength, I'm going to preach today on this subject. 10 things I learned right at an old-fashioned Bible. Got on my heart.
Listen. I get my Bible. Would you turn on your lavalier, please? Thanks.
I thought he was coming to get me.
Look at verse 1 in our text, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Paul said, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter days some shall depart." Watch how he puts it. "Some shall depart from the faith." The faith. Now, if Paul's going to talk about saving faith, he'll talk about my faith or your faith. When he uses the limiting adjective, the faith, you know as well as I do, he's talking about the body of doctrine that we believe. Paul is saying that they will depart from that precious old book I'm holding in my hand. The word there for depart, it gives us our word apostasy. It means simply this: they'll step away from it. First just a little bit, and then a little more, and a little more, departing from the Word of God. Now I brought that up to say this. In this Baptist preacher's book, Things You Learn Wrong in Old Fashioned, chapter 1, he said, "They taught me wrongly." Preacher, he grew up in a church in Kentucky. Said, "They taught me wrongly." Listen, they taught me wrongly that the Bible is the inerrant Word of God. Now let me define the word inerrant. Get me an amen ready. It means it ain't got no mistake. I just want to go on record this morning. I still believe it ain't got no mistakes. You know what he said? And again, I am not competing with him. He's a brilliant man. This is what he said. He said, "I am ashamed to tell you that I once believed in every miracle that book describes." I want to make an announcement. I still believe every miracle that book describes. I believe the whale swallowed Jonah. I believe Jesus got up from the grave. I believe, and I ain't even ashamed of it, hallelujah. Believe it all without reservation. But I tell you what's going on. They are departing from that old book. I'm going to say something, preacher. I've debated and I've prayed about it, and I realize it's controversial, but I'm just going to haul off and say it right now. When I'm talking about that book right there, and I believe that book and I trust that book, I just happen to be talking about the old-fashioned King James Bible. Amen.
That's what we're talking about.
Well, I'm glad, isn't it? Sure makes me feel at home. I had a preacher come to me, and he's a well-meaning, he's a dear brother. He said, "Preacher, don't me." He said, "Brother Bagwell," said, "you better back off that King James business." He said, "You keep standing on that old Bible," said, "you'll lose revival meetings." Said, "You'll become unpopular." I don't know what's going to happen, but I ain't budging. Hallelujah to God. I'm a sticking with the book, and God will give me the strength. Said, "They'll depart from the faith." And they're doing it. Why in the world would Brother Bagwell feel led to this text? Why? I tell you why. When Brother Walker told me about the meeting, and he told me about you men, and the stands you take, and the life you live, I thought, I'd tell you what I'm going to do. If God will give me the strength, I'm going to Ypsilanti, Michigan, and I'm going to stand up here in front of you, and to the last one, I'm going to say, thank God for you. I'm going to say, I appreciate the stand you take. When it comes to that old Bible right there, could I hear an amen? It just does me good to be around the crowd that believes it. Thank God. Then, back to our text. Spirit speaketh expressly in the latter day, some will depart from the faith. Watch. Giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. In his book, there's a picture of it. In his book, he says this: more doctor's degrees than I can count. Why, were he here today, he'd probably have an air of distinguishment about him that none of us could touch. He said he didn't believe the Bible. After he's ashamed he used to believe the miracles. He began to relate a time that the angel Gabriel came by to see him at his house.
Yeah, that's a good
point. Oh yeah. Preacher said Gabriel came to his door. Said he came in his living room and he sat down and he had a conversation with the angel Gabriel. I think I'll just make another announcement. It takes more faith to think old Gabe came by to see you than it takes to think Jesus walked on the water. Hallelujah. Twice he gave that account of Gabriel, a spirit coming by to see. Hear me. I don't doubt a spirit come by to see that Bible denier, but I don't think it is old Gabriel that dropped by. You know what I think? I think it is a seducing spirit. I think it is one of them doctrines of demons that came to see him. And while I'm on the subject, I think there's way too much emphasis being put on angels today and not enough on the Holy Ghost of God. We'll go on with our text. Look at verse 2. Speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. I'm interested in that speaking lies in hypocrisy. I don't know if you'll agree with this, and we're going to love each other whether you do or not. I'll tell you that right now. But I just got the feeling once you taste the truth, nothing else is going to do you. I grew up, I hope y'all know this word, I grew up every day of my life when I was in school. My mama fixed me 2 bologna sandwiches. Y'all don't know what bologna is, I don't think. I mean, preacher, grade school and high school, that's all I ever ate. School was bologna sandwiches. I remember one day I was in college, studying the Word of God, working at a grocery store. And the meat man, the market manager came by. He said, Brother Bagwell, he said it goes out of date today. He said, I can't sell it after today. Said, I've laid some aside in the cooler for you. Said, it's ribeye steak. And he said, I won't, said, I put your name up. Said, when you get off tonight, go get you that ribeye steak with your name. Take it home and get Miss Bagwell to fix it for you. I got to make a long story short. That night, Miss Bagwell fixed me ribeye steak. I bit into that stuff, and bologna's never tasted the same since. I just can't acquire a taste for bologna no more. Do you all see what I'm saying? Thank God I've had the real thing. Hallelujah. And the world's got nothing that'll satisfy anymore. Oh, if we ever know the truth, if we ever get a hold of the truth, nothing else can ever take its place. But wait a minute. Wait a minute. Verse 3. I read 6 verses and I want to work on them. Forbidding to marry. I mean, it seems so incident. Paul said, get ready. False teachers are coming. And when they get here, they will preach this. Forbidding to marry. I want to make an announcement. You men, if you got a lick of sense, you'll holler amen. It ain't a sin to get married. Bible does not condemn marriage. That is God's plan, in fact. Of course, living in Atlanta, Georgia, I will add this. That means a man marrying a woman. Hallelujah. Get that down real good. Preacher, why would you introduce that? Forbidding to marry. What they're saying here And of course the Catholics still believe it. Well, to marry, you taint yourself. Their clergy, their priesthood must remain celibate. Y'all are looking at me like I'm in another world. I didn't say I was a Catholic. Say amen. I'm just telling you what they believe. And they're wrong in that belief. They're minimizing the woman. They're saying she's of no use. She's of no value. You're better off without her. Hope I get an amen. And they're wrong. But I'm going to tell you something's happened today. We have moved from minimizing the woman, making her insignificant and far less important than she can be. We have gone from that extreme to this extreme. And now we're letting them run everything. Some of y'all are scared to say amen right there. I can tell by the way you're looking. What do you mean, Brother Pat? Hey, I want you to hear me. I like what Matthew Henry said. He said God didn't make Eve out of Adam's toe bone so he could walk all over. He didn't make Eve out of Adam's head bone so she could think and lord over him. He made Eve out of Adam's side, hope I get an amen, so she could be his companion. Hallelujah. All the days of their lives. That's the way God meant that thing to be. How'd all that come up about the woman? Oh, that's another thing they taught him wrong. At the old-fashioned Baptist church, they taught him that wrongly, he says. They taught him that the woman's place at God's house was submission and quietness. Come to think of it, y'all are getting mighty quiet. And reverence. Here's what he said. And I'm trying to be as brief as I can to get the text. He said, preacher, he said, the meanest I ever saw my preacher be, bad Bible-believing Baptist preacher, said the meanest I ever saw him be, said a young girl, teenager, came up to him and said, Pastor, girl, God has called me to preach. Said, oh, you wouldn't believe how mean that preacher was. Said he set her down and he said, now young lady, I appreciate you. I believe you've got a heart for God. Hope I'll get an amen. But God did not call you to preach. He explained to her what the Word of, are y'all okay? He explained to her what the Word of God said about that. You say, Brother Bagwell, what in? I'm glad they taught me, and they taught me right down at God's house, the pastor of a church is supposed to be a man. A saved man, Holy Ghost filled man, a God called man. I'll just tell you right now, ain't no woman gonna be my pastor. I ain't ducking cause I'm scared. I'm ducking cause I've had things thrown at me before. Saying things like that. Could I get an amen? I'm glad they're still preaching it right down at God's house. Forbidding to marry. Then it says, watch. What verse am I in? Y'all don't know no more than I do you? 3, thank you. Verse 3, forbidding to marry, watch. And commanding to abstain from meats. You see, they were, Paul said, they'll backslide. False teachers will come in and it'll get so bad they will command you. You can't eat meat. Now somebody help me. There are religious crowds in America today who preach you can't eat meat. They're standing on they think the Mosaic law or aspects of all in the world they're trying to do is earn their way to heaven. Abstain from meats. Now some of you ain't said amen yet. But I think I'll get you on this one. It's not a sin to eat bacon. Boy, that is nine to a unanimous amen. It's not a sin to eat a piece of sausage. Not a sin to eat a pork chop if God leads you to. It's not a sin. You say, preacher, what do you say? It's not a sin to eat what you... If it's received with thanksgiving, if it's sanctified with prayer, I say, pass a pork chop. Amen. Are you all right with that?
Yeah, we're good with that.
That's a bad thing to preach on at nearly lunchtime, I know. Oh, Brother Bagwell, what in the world? A chapter in his book. He said, they wrongly taught me at God's house. Get this. That certain things were right. And certain things were wrong. Always. Invariably. I can tell by the way you're looking, you want me to make a statement on that. I still believe some things are wrong. Always. And I sure am glad. At the little independent Baptist church where I grew up, I sure am glad to have a man of God with some backbone, and he prays against sin. Hallelujah. Are y'all all right? I don't know what this is going to do, preacher, but I got to say it. It's in my heart. If something was wrong 30 years ago today, it's still wrong now. And I just want to mention a thing or two, but I want to go a little further. Abortion ain't a thing in the world but murder. And homosexuality, mark her down, it's still an abomination against God. That's the battle that fellow's fighting right now, you see. I shouldn't start and say this, but I'm going to confess just I do not understand this issue of homosexuality. Preacher, I tried to preach on it one night, and a dear brother came up to me afterward and he said, Brother Bagwell, he said, you're about the most ignorant preacher on homosexuality that I've ever heard preach in all my life. I felt like saying thank you. He had some books. He said they were well illustrated. And he wanted me to read them, so I'd better understand it. Four words. Didn't read a bit of them. I think that's more than four words. But I didn't read a bit of them. And I tell you what, I ain't going to. I don't need to know the details. God's Word said it's wrong. Yes, it is still wrong. I'm looking around right now. Just give me a second. From my perspective, there ain't a handsome man in the whole building. Not a one of them. That's my point. And if I ever do see a handsome man, it's going to scare me to death. Bless you. And I'm with you. I'll say amen on abortion and I'll say amen on homosexuality. But I'd like to make an announcement. There's some more things that are wrong too. Bless you. Hope I don't make nobody mad, but I'm going to say it. If Hollywood was wrong back yonder, it's still wrong today. A born-again, blood-washed child of God got no business watching a movie that takes God's name in vain. Got no business watching a movie where some woman's out with some other woman's husband. Say amen. Got no place in our homes. Are y'all okay? And I think I'll say this. There is a right way to dress when you go to God's house. Come to think of it, there's a right way to dress all the time. You really want to know that. Preacher, Preacher, I think I'm killing the service. I just see it happening all over. I don't know what's happened to us, but I know I thank God I was brought up in a church where sin was still sin, and they wasn't ashamed to preach against it. We better get back to our text. It said verse 3, talking about those meats, watch it. Abstain from meats which God hath created. Which God hath created. Now, I may be wrong. I'm not the most brilliant fella in town, but looks to me like that just said God's the Creator. Oh, I'm back on that book again. Here's something else. Wrong. He said they taught me wrong. The origins of the species. He don't even believe God created man anymore. He believes we evolved from lower life forms. I don't need to preach long on that. In my estimation, probably not an evolutionist in the house. But I am going to say this. Preacher, I've had folks tell me, don't hammer on, you don't have to preach on evolution all that. I'll tell you what evolution is. Somebody might agree. It's a lie right out of hell. It's not an incidental thing. Listen. God said He made man perfect, put him in an ideal environment. Adam and Eve fell into sin. This is what God said. I made them perfect and they fell into sin. Hope I get an amen. And it's been downhill ever since. God said, that's the graph of mankind. Now, let me tell you what evolution says. Evolution says we started out yonder in the swamp, in the ooze somewhere. We were just some one-celled amoeba, a protozoan. Somehow one day said we got some legs, and we got a tail, and we got a head and a brain, and we gradually, through millions of years, God says we started perfect and ended up bad. Evolution says we started in the slime. We've been getting smarter and better. God said we're going that way. Evolution said we're going that way. I think I know who's right. Evolution says the opposite of what God's Word says. And let me add this real quick. If you don't have a Creator, you don't need a Savior. If you don't have a Creator, you don't. The only folks that need a Savior is the crowd He created, and they fell into sin, ended up in iniquity on their way to hell. But I tell you what, everybody in this building's here because of God's act of creation. We were sinners on our way to hell needing to be saved. You deal with evolution, you believe evolution, you ruin God's perfect plan of salvation. Sure, I'm glad they taught me right down at God's house. I remember when they told me about the Garden of Eden. They didn't bat an eye. They just believed it really happened. God made Adam. God made Eve. Little old kid like me, I believed every word of it, and I still believe it today. We'll go on a little further. Well, we're down to verse 6, making real good time. Timothy, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ. The expression, put them in remembrance of these things, preacher, it is a New Testament expression that essentially means preaching the Word of God. You know all I'm doing today? Hadn't brought up anything you don't already know? Have not unveiled an original truth? All I hope I get an amen. All I'm doing is putting you in remembrance of something. That's right. Put them in remembrance. That leads me to a chapter in his book. He said, they wrongly taught me that preaching was God's primary way of revelation of His truth to mankind. Preacher, he's of the opinion that we overemphasize the preaching of the Word of God. I'm going to say it. I don't know if anybody will even smile, much less say amen. I don't think you can overestimate preaching in the New Testament church. You know what he said? In his book, he said some churches put the pulpit right down front and right in the middle of the whole congregation. I notice that's where y'all got yours. And I know you're thinking, well, who don't? Oh, there are a lot of them that don't do that. A lot of them stick it over yonder in the corner somewhere. I also notice y'all got a big pulpit here. Brother, I appreciate what you're saying for us small folks, but don't y'all cut an inch off of it. Hallelujah. Leave it like it is. Mocking the ministry of preaching God's Word. Said this. He said, it's bad enough to put it down front. He said, it's probably worse yet to put it right in the middle. But he said, there's some of them so fanatical, they lift it up. They put it up on a platform. Down there. That's right. Amen. I don't know who said Nehemiah, but they sure had that one elevated, didn't they? And a revival broke out that day, you know, when old Ezra stood there and read the Word of God. I believe in them elevated, right slap in the middle, right front and center kind of pulpits. In case you don't understand slap, that's a Georgia word. Hallelujah. Right in the middle. I got one thing to say and I'll quickly go on to the next point. Thank God for preaching. Thank God for old-fashioned Holy Ghost preaching of His Word. That's how I got saved. That's how the church grows by the grace of God. That's how we mature in our faith. Preachers, I salute you. Thank God for every one of you. Keep on preaching the Word of God. Then, getting near the end, Brother Walker, verse 6, put them in remembrance of these things. Watch. You'll be a good minister, watch, of Jesus Christ. Be a good minister of Jesus Christ. You're not going to believe it. And don't go buy this book. I'll need an amen. It's already beginning to appear on the discount tables. I hope that means it didn't sell real good. Hallelujah. Richard, what in the world are you talking about there? When you read those words, you'll be a good minister of Jesus Christ. He said they wrongly. Y'all get this. I don't believe the man's ever been saved. I'm not a judge, understand, but he said they wrongly taught me there's only one way to heaven. And that Jesus Christ is that way. Well, let me address that issue. I believe y'all know what I'm going to say. There is only one way to heaven tonight. One night I was preaching an old-fashioned salvation sermon, just telling them how to get saved. There's a gentleman, I could tell he was angry. You preachers know the look. Maybe you don't know the look. Something like this, so. After the service, here he comes. He said to me, preacher, he said this. He said, You're an exclusivist, aren't you? An exclusivist. Lord, help me. I didn't know what he meant. I thought I had a disease or something. You're an exclusivist, aren't you? But finally, in our conversation, I got it figured out. He was accusing me of believing there was one and only one way to heaven, and that all the other ways were wrong and insufficient and could not save a sinner from hell. I got to just say this. Jesus said, help me. I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Hey, may I make an announcement? There is none other name under heaven given among man whereby we must be saved. That's the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I am an exclusivist. Praise God. I don't think some of you are getting that. Muhammad does not say. Buddha does not say. Krishna does not say. The idols of the world do not say. Only Jesus saves. Paul said it'll make you a good minister of Jesus Christ. Verse 6 ended. Nourished up in the words of faith and good doctrine. I like that good doctrine business. Amen. Fella found out when I first came to Camp Acor, camp meeting, he called me aside. He said, you're going up north and you're going to preach in the camp meeting? He's my buddy. I said, yeah. Lord opened the door, Brother Walker called it, and I'm going, if God will give me the strength. He said, well, he said, when you get up there, he said, you better have a little dignity about yourself. I don't know if he'd never been up here or what. He said, them Northerners, he said, they won't say amen. He said, they won't lift their hands, they won't shout, he said, they just won't. And then he said, to cap all that off, he said, you better not ever preach Bible doctrine up there in a camp meeting situation. Now, y'all help me out and prove that rascal wrong. I'm glad it don't matter north, south, east, or west. I'm glad if you've been washed in the blood of the Lamb on your way to heaven, thank God you just like it right out of the Word of God, gun barrel straight, just give me thus saith the Lord. Preach doctrine, it'll help me grow in the Lord. Hallelujah. Nourished in the words of faith. They tell me the expression Paul used, and I'm about through, said the expression he used there, the word nurse, says it has the idea to make you fat. Well, the half of you ain't smiling. Now, boy, isn't that a sin today to get fat, you know. But they said the newspaper, the motel hangs a newspaper on your doorknob. And the newspaper said they're firing all them models, you know, that display the new clothes, said they're firing them because they're too skinny. Said they ain't fat enough. Boy, and by the way, that's true. That's what they're doing right now. Well, this will really be appreciated. I think you ought to fire them all till they get some clothes on myself. Some of you didn't appreciate that, but I still believe it. Bless your heart. Preacher, you're saying if the Word of God's preached, if I'll stand against sin, it'll nourish me, it'll fatten me up in the things of God. I'm not talking about how much you weigh. I'm not talking about whether you are or are on a diet. But I tell you what, we sure got a lot of folks, spiritually speaking, and they're flat on a starvation diet. They ain't got no meat on their bones. Give me the Word. Preach what God said. Fatten me up spiritually a little bit. Hallelujah. Whereunto, this is the last thing he said, whereunto thou hast attained. And as sure as I stand here, use your Vine's dictionary, your Strong's concordance, whereunto thou hast attained. It is the word picture of a road that's been built. Whereunto thou hast attained literally means you're walking, I'll need an amen, you're walking on the right road.
Amen.
Hey, I done made up my mind. I'm not walking the road that fella's walking. I'm not walking the road of liberalism. I'm not walking the road of neo-evangelicalism. Give me old-fashioned, independent, Baptist, Bible preaching doctrine. That's the road I'm walking. That's the way I'm going. If God will give me the breath and the strength. That's what makes me like to be around the crowd like y'all. Think I'll just get in line and we'll go together. Hallelujah. Whereunto thou hast attained. I know this is what God laid on my heart for this morning. But the devil showed up in that corner over there a minute ago. And he said, you don't want to preach that to a congregation you don't know nothing about. The devil said, this is controversial. I don't know what would be controversial about it. But that's what the of course, come to think of it, the devil's a liar. Amen. Men, I salute every one of you. Appreciate where God's brought you in your life and your ministry. I thank God for what you believe. Y'all good smile. I'm bragging on you. What's wrong with you? And I admire you for the stand you take on the Word of God. I'm glad there's some things we learn right.
Amen.
Down at God's house. Praise His name. Hallelujah.